you're gonna reap just what you sow. Sow good seeds, everybody.
Continue our conversation with Farmer Greg and Bill McDormand of the Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance. Had a very fascinating first segment, learned about palm tree that has come back that no one's seen for 1,000 years because they found some seed stored. We definitely went over the hardiness, and you were saying how smart they are and that they adapt. And, you know, you couldn't stick a smartphone in a clay jar and bring it back out 1,000 years later and do anything with it. So What does it cost for these seeds? Something this smart, what's my financial investment into it?
Well, so we're modern creatures and we've got globalized supply lines for everything. And our companies have learned how to buy each other out and centralize to reduce expenses. And that has been done on spades in the seed world. In fact, we've got 3 companies now that own and control about 60% of the world's seeds. And on smaller scales and regional, you know, the seed companies are larger than ever. If you went back to like 1920 or 30, there was a local source for seeds in almost every region of the country. And why? Because it made sense biologically. Those seeds were adapted to those people. They knew the names, they knew they worked well, and people had access to them from their local people that they knew and trusted. Well, that whole system's gone. And so what that means, you know, as far as the cost of seeds is that we've got these huge systems that distribute seeds. And those seeds are now almost always grown and packaged thousands of miles away. In fact, you know, I just heard a statistic a couple of days ago that up to 70% of the seeds now from Johnny's Selected Seeds, one of our favorite mail order catalogs in the United States, one of the largest organic seed suppliers, 70% of those seeds are now contract grown in China. Mm. And so for those of us thinking about regeneration, and what climate in China? They're not in a desert like this. I guess there are parts of China, but it's farther north. And so it leads up to this idea that if you live in a fringe climate like we do in the Southwest, nobody's producing anything new for you. There's no money in our small region for these big companies. They're creating new varieties where they can hit the sweet spot and sell millions of pounds. And the seeds that we do get come through these hugely centralized systems, and they're sent to wholesalers, and those wholesalers send them to distributors, and those distributors send them to what we call packers. And packers would be the people that we know about, that you hear the names of. Those are the mail order companies and the packaged seed companies that you see on racks at your local store. And so by the time they go through 3 or 4 systems, everybody's marked them up. And to get them that last mile, you know, with packets or whatever is really expensive. And so, as I was saying before, about 90% of the cost of that packet of seeds that you're going to buy is all the packaging and all the distribution. And they're not from around here. They're not adapted. They're not taking advantage of that incredible ability of seeds to adapt to where they are. So you're getting a poor product that's 9x priced.
At least 9x price. The last time I bought a packet of basil, I paid $3.99 for it. They were organic seeds. And when I looked down inside of it, there were about 15 or 20 seeds in that packet, milligrams of seeds. So, you know, that's just, I'm sure at that rate, the poundage price on them is $1,000 a pound.
Well, you know, and then the other thing is people have always been able to save their own seeds. So if you don't think you're getting a good deal, you could save them. But industry's done something really interesting, and especially the last 30 to 40 years. And that is they put the word hybrid on the packet. Mm-hmm. And so what that means, and then taught everybody that you can't save seeds from your own hybrids, which is not true. What it means is that you can't predict the outcome of those. You save seeds from what you grow. It may not look like the parents. And this is any more than humans having children. Say a blonde a mother and a black-haired father have children, and they all have either black or blonde hair, and that's fine. Those kids grow up and have kids, and they're red-haired. And you go, where did that come from? So hybrids have a tendency to do that. The children of hybrids can have red hair. They can have all sorts of hidden characteristics. And so, you know, that could be really good. If you live in the desert, that might mean that they're super drought tolerant. We don't know. But we've been taught that we can't predict, therefore we shouldn't save our seeds. And so we've been locked into this system, the American consumer, you know, and there are 100 million gardeners or more in this country. There's 80 million yards. It's the number one outdoor activity. And more of those people with yards are now growing food. And yet almost none of them save their own seeds. Something that you go back a generation or two, everybody did. Every farmer and gardener in the United States in the 20s and 30s probably saved their own seeds. And they created all this adaptive stuff for the Southwest. And so we've had a lot of fun in our nonprofit. That's what we do, is educate people to get back involved and to find the varieties that are still around them, that are still, we may lose them, but there's still grandparents or great grandparents out there. Lots of times that still have some seeds in a garage or whatever. I heard about a museum somebody discovered in Chicago that collected seeds for almost 100 years, and they were in a museum. They didn't take care of them. They just put them in the museum, right? And so people are taking them out of the museum and they're growing. It's incredible collections of especially Midwest Indian tribes. And so, you know, wherever we find them, we're going to grow them in our region, and we're going to learn how to save them and take advantage of that abundance that can come from that.
And we have the Great American Seed Up coming up next week, and we'll talk about that and how you can participate. It's a little different. If you've been to them in the past, you know that they have been in a big church building, but, you know, lockdowns and restrictions, it's kind of changed how that setup is going to go. So when we get back, we'll have Farmer Greg and Bill McDormand explain how they're going to operate this year's Great American Seed Up happening next Saturday.